Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 148, part 1, Examination. Today is Friday, May 21st, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why? Because we have no boundaries. We're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also shop at Pastor Paul's Mall, supporting our advertisers who support us. Now, to join our online community, go to Pastor Paul's homepage. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. You can also go to Pastor Paul's blog, leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony about Pastor Paul's podcast. You can email me, Janine@pastorpaul.org. And at the blog, you're going to find show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast that have scripture links. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for two parts to Pastor Paul's weekly episode. This month, the month of May, here is the lineup. Your influence, what's useless, what's common, examination, self-emphasis, or others' emphasis. There you have it, the lineup for May. Be sure to join us. Have a beautiful month. God bless you.
This tape is entitled Examination. Today I stopped at a cafe and I asked a young man to come and donate some time. He was sort of all slouched down in the chair like this. And he's all hung out and he had his feet hanging out and he had one of these drug booze heads, you know, that were just all drug out. And I said, do you want to donate some time? He said, no, he says, I don't donate time to charitable things like that because it seems like it's just the airheads that do that. And so I asked him, I said, well, would you call the airline stewardesses and bankers and lawyers and teachers and preachers and different people that come in to donate time, are they airheads? Do you think that all the people are misfits and mindless? Then I said, by the way, how much did this sickness that you have, how much did it cost you? How much did this big headache cost you, and how much did this churn gut cost you? And I halfway know him, so I can, you know, kind of kid around him like that. He said, well, it cost me a little over $200. Well, I says, maybe you ought to come and talk to some of my volunteer airheads. But anyway, I says, I'll admit to being an airhead, but let's just come on down and see what God is doing through airheads. Now, I thought to myself, the problem with you is that you've never really examined yourself. Because if you would examine yourself, you wouldn't call anybody else an airhead. I'm thinking this. Last week, a woman called me and she said, well, just here a couple days ago, Wednesday, this Indian lady called me. She says, Pastor Paul, I've been down there to the mission. She says, I'd like to ask you a question. Could you deliver some groceries up here to the hospital? And I says, no, I can't get into delivery because if I delivered to one person and two person and 10 people, then 1,000 people would have to wait for their groceries and nobody would get served. And the Lord stopped me and I had to examine myself. And she kept on talking. She said, well, I've been up here for 3 weeks. There's no food up here. They won't give you money for the coffee machine. I'm disconnected from my family and my husband is here. And I just wondered if there's somebody down there could deliver some groceries. I've been living on crackers for the last 3 weeks. I had to do a very fast examination of myself. And I says, well, I'll tell you what. I says, I'll come up there and I'll deliver you the groceries. Well, I was just cutting out and I was walking. I just happened to be walking out. And two beautiful people in ministry came to me and I was supposed to be counseling with them. And then all of a sudden I remembered. I thought, oh, no. They says, well, are you busy? I says, as a matter of fact, I got an emergency. But I says, why don't you come with me? And while we're going, I says, I'll counsel you as we go. And they said, all right. And so we went down and we got in the hospital. And we went in and we prayed over this little four-year-old boy. Looked more like he was 2.5. Had liver problems and heart problems, and it was all puffed up. His head looked like a melon, and he was just all puffed up. And here was the mother, and she was really, really tired. And the sister was there, and the sister's husband, and then some other friend of hers. We brought in all these foodstuffs. We had all these ARA sandwiches, and we had some coffee that Jim had had, and we had some desserts and things like that. We took that all up, and the look on their crackers and cheese and things like that, and the look on their faces was amazement. And I says, now put all these things in the ice box, and then whenever you want to microwave something, well, then you can just take it out and microwave it. And well, this will last us for a few days here. And I thought to myself, boy, how I really need an examination of myself. Well, I said, well, now I'm a gospel preacher. And I says, woe be it to me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I says, I think it's time we pray. Now, I had these two people with me from another ministry. They have a young people's ministry that they live in with. And anyway, they were getting counseled while I was counseling these people. Isn't that the way it works? As you go. And so I ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, and I was praying along there, and I asked them to receive Jesus. And they were all in this circle here. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the two people that were saved were in the circle praying. And they all came to know Jesus Christ, the four people there, had never known him before, came to know Jesus as their personal Savior, and this great big tall guy goes, ooh! And he jumps back out of the circle. I says, you got touched, didn't you? And he kind of like that. And the rest of them were all beaming. I think we need to examine ourselves. So a couple weeks back, I had talked to another Indian friend of mine. He called me over the table and he says, would you happen to have a drill that I could borrow? I says, well, I've had 6 or 7 drills since I've been in this building. Everyone has disappeared. So I don't think I'll be loaning out any drills, but I said, I was thinking to myself, but I'll pray for you. And I stopped myself from saying it, though. But anyway, I didn't give him the drill, and I was walking out, and I was with Stu. And I had to have a quick examination. The Lord spoke to me, examine yourself. And I turned around and I examined myself and I went back down and I got this brand new drill that we had and I said, here, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give you this drill. Well, now this man was, he just looked at me with this incredulous look and he said, give it to me? Well, he says, what I do is I make these little artifacts and pipes out of sandstone. Now, there's sandstone, Minnesota, and they make them out of this sandstone, sort of a red clay, hard clay-like thing. And I said, well, you go ahead. Now, I was standing there, I was thinking, well, now, he's going to make a pipe out of that. And Stu was with me, and he looked at me like, they're going to make, and I could just about read his mind. He said, they're going to make pipes out of that. And I said, yes, I know they're going to make pipes out of this, but the Lord spoke to me to give them the drill, Stu. Okay, he said, so I gave him the drill, and today he came back, this is 3 weeks later, and he shows me this beautiful buffalo, then there's a little pipe on, and these are artifacts that the Indians sell. Then he went into the history of this, he says, for your giving me that drill, I was able to make this and start my business again, this little pipe part here, with the buffalo on it, the buffalo was about this big. And he says, I wanted to get back to show you what I was doing, beans that you were so kind. He says, I am right now one of the most noted. There's only 20 that make these different artifacts out of sandstone. And he says, Khrushchev has got one of my artifacts. Sadat has got one of my artifacts. And he says, they're all around the world. But at this particular time in my life, I needed a drill. I didn't have any kind of money. You were kind enough to give me this drill. And I thought to myself, you know what? I am going to start examining myself just a little bit closer. I think there's a lot in that, to examine ourselves. But oh, how we need to take an inventory of ourselves and examine ourselves. A lot of times there's people out there listening on the radio right now. They got a half a brain and half a liver, half a stomach, half a nervous system, half a breathing, half a blood count. All because they haven't examined themselves. They need to examine themselves, for you see, they're only half alive. Like myself, if I didn't examine myself, I'd only be half alive. Oh, how we need to. I talked to a guy the other day, and he says, you know what? He says, I feel like a truck ran over me. Well, you know, he paid for that. To feel that way, he had to pay for it. Which brings me now into 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, and it says like this, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. I like that. It didn't say prove somebody else. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now here we have the Corinthians, and they were the critics of the apostles' age. They took the credit for their skill in language and for their skill in learning. And I think like most men do, when they get knowledgeable in their own understanding, they sort of use their wisdom and learning in a wrong way. And what they do when they got wise in their own understanding? It always happens inevitably and always when we get wise in our own understanding, we don't examine ourselves, what happens? They started to criticize Paul. They criticized his style, it says in the Bible. They said his letters are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Well, I thought, well, you mean to say that out of sight he's great, but in person, whew, we don't want nothing to do with that guy. He's contemptible. They even went further and they denied his apostleship. And they said, where are your credentials, Paul? Now, you're talking to someone that led all these people to the Lord. And now after they had been led to the Lord and he had given many, many teachings and many letters, they ask him right out like this, and they said, where are your credentials? And so he had to answer. And it says he was compelled to become a fool in glorying. For he says like this, ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I am nothing. What's he said there? The very chiefest apostles, who you think is the very chiefest apostles, I am not behind any of those guys, and I am nothing. And so you see, no one's anything saving Christ in them. The hope of glory is what he's saying. But anyway, oh my, did he ever shut their mouths? He wrote two letters to them, and he upbraided them, and he also defends himself. And when he fully disarmed them, he says like this, examine yourselves. I think there's a lot of that that has to happen right now in the Christian world that we need to take and tell people. A lot of times need to be told. And we also need to examine ourselves. But people need to be told, examine yourselves. You have disputed my doctrine, he's saying, and so now examine whether ye be in the faith and have made me prove my apostleship. Now prove yourselves. Examine yourself firstly and then prove yourself. Use the powers that you have been wrongly exercising against me upon your own characters. Give yourself the same acid test that you're giving me. And see then where you will fare when you go ahead and examine yourself, when you give yourself the same check out your own vessel, he's saying. Check out your own thoughts. Check out your own heart. And I believe it's the same way right now. I think people should never go out of the house of God. Now, I got preachers calling me from the radio. And they're so sometimes worried about what people think. Well, I said, if you're worried about it, go ahead and tell a person. Don't go out and judge the preaching. A lot of times you're going to go out, I tell them, if you're judging the preaching, you're judging the word. Just come to the church and listen to the word that's given out in the house of God and don't judge the preacher. Don't judge God's servants. And come, tell the people, come and allow the word to challenge you, to fill you, deliver you, and come to receive. Now, when you go out for a meal, don't you go out to receive a meal? And it's the same way you listening on the radio. When you turn the radio on, are you sitting there in an attitude of receptivity? Are you going to respond to the message? And so let's tonight, all of us listening, examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. So number one, let's expound upon the text. Secondly, let's enforce the text. Thirdly, let me try and help you carry it out in practice immediately, if not sooner. Number one, then, let's expound upon this text. Of course, I think it's self-explanatory. Easy to be understood. Examine yourselves. Now, who wouldn't understand that? Examine yourselves. Well, it's understood, but it's pretty hard to do. For you have to almost make up a list, see, and then examine yourselves. And I thought to myself, evidently, a lot of us don't do that. I had not examined myself before I spoke to this Indian lady. I had not examined myself before I spoke to this Indian man. I had not examined myself before I answered a lot of questions that come over the telephone for people that need help. See, you can get so down pat in what you're doing, and I know there has to be rules and regulations or you'd never get anything done. But I think sometimes we need to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. See, if we have it in our power to do good and do it not, therein lies a sin. And there's a lot of times we have to stop and we have to think, we have to examine ourselves. We have to pray for discernment on what to do. But I thought this is sort of a scholastic idea, examine. It's kind of like you go to school and finally you take a test to find out whether you've learned anything. It's kind of like when you read the Word of God and you put it to work to find out whether you've learned anything. I mean, you can read the Bible and you can go through all these different practices in your mind, but really you don't know until you put it to the test. You say, well, I have love. Well, put it to the test then. You say that I have faith. Well, then you're going to have to put it to the test then. You're going to have to run that gauntlet. You're going to have to run down that last mile. You're going to have to give that coat away. You're going to have to do those things that prove love. And so the word right now will give you a test. We had a good time. We were out riding along in the car, and there again, we were counseling all the way up to the Jesus People camp and all the way back again. And you know what we were doing that day, kids? We were examining ourselves. In that I had examined myself, I was able to help you. You know, until we fully examine ourselves, how can we examine anybody else? That's like a doctor. When he gives an examination, he's been through school. He's learned all this, and then he has to put it to practice. Then he has to put it to practice, and he has to start. First of all, he has to examine himself, and then he examines others. I think examination also is a military idea. Do a halt to yourself. Renew yourself. Go through all of your acts and examine all of your motives. Why am I doing this? Well, I've had enough people ask me why I'm doing it, but I have to ask myself. I mean, I have to be like I'm in the service, have an inspection. How many been in the service in here? Anybody been in the service in here? Not a one person? Oh, a couple back there. When they come by and they examine you, brothers and sisters, they really examine you. Then I thought you have to examine yourself in sort of a legal idea, just like a lawyer cross-examines himself and gets at the truth. Question yourself backwards and forwards and allow no loopholes. Examine yourself. Well, that's a hard thing to do sometimes when the Spirit's convicting you and you skirt around the edges and you don't want to examine yourself and you don't want to really look at yourself. Examine yourself as a traveler's idea. In the original, it means go right through yourselves as a traveler. As a traveler goes through a country and keeps a travel log, examine yourself. Travel right through it. Don't sit on the bus and look up at the mountains. Go into the mountains. Don't sit on the bus and go through by the rivers. Go in the rivers. Don't go by the roads. Go down the roads. Don't talk about minerals. Dig in and find out about the minerals. Examine yourselves. But I'm afraid myself and a lot of people included have not examined themselves. Whew. Examine yourself and ask what kind of a job you are doing. Examine yourself and say, could I finish this job sooner? Am I holding others up? And next, the word says, prove your own selves. Whew. That's a hard one to do, isn't it? To prove your own self. This means more than a self-examination. When you buy a car, you examine it. You kick the tires, you check out the paint, you look at the upholstery, you look at the body, you examine it. But nextly, you test drive the car. Before you actually invest in it, you want more proof. So you get inside of this car and you're going to test it out. You stick the car in gear, and you let out the clutch, and you step on the gas, and you turn the wheel, and you turn the corner, and you back it up, and you drive it ahead, and you park it, and you make it go fast, you hit the brakes, and you examine it. And you start to have this car to prove itself. And I think it's the same way with us. We need to examine ourselves, and we need to prove ourselves, and we need to test ourselves. How many have done that this week? I have. God knows I've had. And I'll tell you one thing, it's just like a ship that goes out. You don't know if that ship is going to be shipworthy until it gets out there and it gets in the storms and it gets in the trials and it gets in the tribulations. You don't know any of that until it gets out there and it's tried. I want to say one thing for this north side. This has been some pretty rough sledding down here. Now I've had to examine myself many, many times whilst I'm down inside of this ocean here. This is really a pass to get into. I'll tell you one thing. This ministry right here in the north side has really had me to examine myself over and over and over and over. And about the time I think I'm all done with all kinds of stormy weather, about the time I think I'm all done with all kinds of trials, a brand new trial will come on. And a brand new storm will come on. It seems like every trial you go through is a little heavier. But then the Bible says to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many are hearing me here tonight? Sometimes you just feel like breaking down and cutting and running. But I'll tell you one thing. That is not what God wants you to do. He wants you to get into the action. He says, prove yourself. How do you prove yourself? You prove yourself by depending on the grace of God right in the biggest thing in your life. To allow God's grace to come in to prove yourself. Prove what kind of a vessel you are. I know we're in a time right now where God is saying, prove yourself, preacher. Prove yourself, people of the church. Prove yourself to be loyal. Prove yourself to be loving. Prove yourself to be steady, always abounding in the faith. Prove yourself. Now today I received a check in the mail that was for $4,000. I had to put it in a separate account. And they wanted in a separate account, but they said, here's the $4,000. They have to keep track of every nickel that comes out. I believe it's because I gave that man that money for that peace pipe. And I believe it's because I went down there to this hospital down there and met the needs of those people and counseled as I went. I really believe that. I believe I had to prove myself, because I'll tell you something, folks, I did not want to go down there and take them groceries down there. No, I didn't. And I didn't want to counsel with them people. I just wanted to lay down and go to sleep. But in that I examined myself, I went out, and it was one of the best nights I had ever had. Hallelujah. I mean, when I got up there and seen that those faces and those faces of those freed people up in that hospital and the faces of these freed people that went, and I counseled them on the way, I thought, my Lord, am I ever glad that I examined myself. See, a lot of times, if you don't examine yourself, you're going to miss out on things. You're going to think, well, I'm all right, and you're just getting sort of a little shell, don't you see? But when you see yourself as selfish, and when you see yourself as getting into yourself, you say, whoa, I want to prove myself in the Lord. And you go on out and prove yourself. I know you felt like that. Some nights you get on that bus and you get, well, I got to hurry up and I got to get down there. And most of the time you feel like doing. There's some nights that you don't. But you go on down there and you prove your ministry by going down there, Jim. You prove it by the fact that you're going. The fact that I get up here week after week, month after month, year after year, is proof. Do you believe that's proof? To get up here every single week, it's proof. And as I prove myself, I find the joy and the peace and the love that passes all understanding filling me because I prove myself in God. Examine yourself tonight. You listening on the radio, maybe you need a self-examination. Maybe you need to take a real good look at yourself and say, Lord, where am I? Are you hearing this? I mean, that's like having a faith that's never been tested. That's like having some clothes that, you don't know if they're going to shrink until you get them in hot water. I'll tell you one thing. I know that God is able. I know that God is able to keep me under that hour. Say amen, somebody. Now, I know, preacher, you listening to me on the radio right now, you're going through hot and heavy times. There isn't a preacher in the United States right now, in the world, that isn't going through a hot and heavy time right now. You know why that? Why it is? Because God is proving His servants. God is proving His people. There is a separation between the sheep and the goats, and there's all kinds of things that's going to come against you. But God says, prove yourself. Examine yourself. Well, the proof is in the pudding, the world says. Isn't that right? Say amen, somebody. Prove yourself. Well, nobody showed up today. Well, this is an opportunity to prove yourself. Isn't that right? This is an opportunity to trust the Lord. This is an opportunity to prove yourself. Prove yourself that you trust the Lord. Prove yourself that you'll go on. And God will bless abundantly if we just allow God to do something in our lives. I need some $35,000. Now, we just got rid of this camp up here. I've been trying to unload that thing for years. And finally, God has seen fit. I believe on February 20th that thing is going to close. Well, now all the money will be gone, but praise God. I proved myself by standing in there. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you to meet these needs. I mean, there are so many needs out there right now. It's an opportunity to prove ourselves. Did you understand what I just said? It's an opportunity to prove ourselves. Well, it's also a challenge, isn't it? I was laying in bed the other night, and God showed me to start approaching some of these people that get off at midnight and approach some of the people and say, how would you like to work for God after you get off work at 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night and go around and pick up all this food from all these places that are closing down? What do you think of that? Well, we got to prove it, don't we? You got to prove what I just said right there. We got to get on the horn. We got to challenge people to come on in, drive their own vehicle, use their own gas, and go out and get food for God's people. Say amen, somebody. And maybe even pick up bread at the different places at night when you don't bother people. There's not as many trucks. Well, Pastor Paul, you're going to get yourself involved. Maybe you'll be working nights. Well, maybe I will. I don't know, but I'm going to prove myself. Say amen, somebody. I'm going to prove myself, and I'm going to believe God to get more food. Now we go over there in St. Paul, we're looking at hordes of people over there. I mean, almost scary to take a look at the people out there. They're four wide, and they're running down a half a block, and you turn the corner. When I first took a look around that corner, I went around that corner, and I said to myself, I said, my God. They were all the way down the block. And a word came to me, prove yourself. It almost felt like there was drums rolling. I was walking along the side of this crowds down there. And I sort of got a happy mad in me. You ever get a happy mad inside of you? You know what I mean by a happy mad? You're happy because you know the Lord is going to do something, and you're mad because the conditions are the way they are. God, I can't explain the weak, strong, happy, sad feeling I had. Does that sound funny?
Go with utility.
Was all rolled into one. I was happy because God was going to do it. I was sad because it was the way that it was. But God was speaking to me to prove yourself.